3 p.m. on Saturday, September 7th. Steve, 9 a.m. Sorry. The epistle for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretell you, and as I have foretold you before, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with devices and concupiscences. Please stand for the gospel from Matthew chapter 6. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will disdain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more are you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathens seek. For your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thus the words of today's holy gospel. Please be seated. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, we are exhorted by our Lord Jesus Christ himself in the gospel today to put God first, to seek holiness first, and not to be so worried about all the other things of life. We are all familiar, I think, with the first few questions of the Children's Catechism. Who made you? God made me. Why did God make you? God made me to be happy with him in heaven. What must you do to be happy with God in heaven? To be happy with God in heaven, I must know him, love him, and serve him in this world. But I'm afraid, familiar as these things are, in fact, because they are so familiar, they are ignored as something childish, something we learned a long time ago, something we mastered a long time ago, and we no longer need to pay attention to, like our ABCs and our early arithmetic. But these questions do not come first because they are negligible. They come first and are taught first to the children because they are the foundation for everything else. They're the foundation for our whole spiritual life. They give us both the goal and the means. The goal, the reason we were made, is to be happy. God made us to be happy, to share his happiness, which he already had in himself. And the means is to know him and love him and serve him in this world. Again, we've heard it many times, but we must examine ourselves to see if we're actually doing it properly. When we hear know, love, and serve God, it is serve that gets all the attention. As if God needed us somehow to do things for him. Despite hearing so many times that we will be judged on love, we have it deeply ingrained in us that really heaven is for those who do things for God, who show up to Mass on Sunday, and who say their rosary, and who raise their children well, and so on. That heaven is a reward for good works. And don't get me wrong, that is part of it. We do have to serve God, but that's not the first thing. That's not of primary importance. We are not Muslims. The God of the Mohammedans created slaves to get work done, and he rewards those who submit to him and do the work. But in the real world, the real God made us to be happy, made us to be with him. Mere service does not get that done, does not fulfill the goal. Mere service is useless. God does not need us to accomplish anything. In fact, he does much better without us involved. To serve God as we must to be saved, the service must be of love. We have to serve God lovingly, inspired by love. We do it because we love him, not to get the work done, which again, doesn't need us for. The service is a proof of the love, a test, an overflow from our love. But then, so we have to love first before we can serve properly. But before we can love, we must know. Knowledge is required for love. For instance, I love idioma. I think idioma is very good. But none of you can. None of you love idioma. It is impossible because you've never had it. You've never even heard of it, I believe. None of you can love idioma because you have no knowledge of it. Love is impossible without knowledge. You cannot love my friend Paul Newman because you do not know him. You cannot love what you do not know. But there's a difference between knowing things and knowing people. When we talk about knowing someone, it's a particular kind of knowledge. If I claim that I know Donald Trump, you will be impressed. Perhaps we didn't realize what kind of circle his father's family was in Wisconsin. His father must be some sort of higher echelon businessman, Fortune 500. But if you find out that by I know Donald Trump, All I meant was, I know how many businesses he's won and lost. I know his middle name and how much he weighed when he was born and which schools he went to and the names of all his siblings. In other words, if I know everything about Donald Trump, but I've never met him, you will call me, and rightly so, a liar. You don't know Donald Trump. You only know about him, which any of us with access to Wikipedia can do. You're nothing special. You don't know him. It's the same with God. Most of us, I hope, know a lot about God. We learn about God in our catechism and in sermons. But that's not personal knowledge. It's not the knowledge we need to love him. We can love from a distance, it's true, with just a certain knowledge. We can talk about loving a certain actor or a certain sports star or a certain person in history whom we've never met with a kind of respect, a love from afar, recognizing their goodness. But we cannot love them as a friend. A friend requires mutual knowledge, which we gain by experience. To know a person, we have to spend time with them. If you have a new coworker you want to get to know, as we say, you take them out for coffee or you have them over to dinner. When we want to know a person, we have to spend time with them in conversation. And this is possible with God. In fact, it's necessary. We have to get to know God as a person before we can see him forever in heaven, before we can serve him, before we can love him as he needs to be served and loved, as we were created to do. To fulfill the purpose for which we were created, we have to get to know God as a person. We have to gain experiential knowledge. I'm in preparing this sermon, it turned out to be pretty long, so I decided to split it into two. We'll finish this topic next week. But I want you to consider this week that whatever it is, whatever it takes to get to know God, we all have to do it. It is the most necessary thing, the most important part of our lives, the thing for which we were created, the sine qua non of getting to heaven. Is getting to know God. Whatever effort it takes, if we have to rearrange our schedule, our daily schedule, if we have to make sacrifices, we must do it. We must get to know our God, person to person.